This week's mailbag comes to us from Pam. My first 100-day round was last year's New Year's round, and I got hung up about halfway through, but I sporadically made it to the end. I then began round two, but I surprisingly found a house that I really liked, and I've decided to put mine on the market. Scrap the second round, clear out my house, and sell, and prep to move. A couple of failed contracts later, and I decided to rent and build in a 55-plus neighborhood. So I moved out as planned and got a contract on my house the very next day. I started round three by moving into a rental, knowing it was only temporary. I used round three to really declutter, so when I made the final move later on this year, I would be moving less. This week, I just started this round by planning my packing and organizing so that when I move into my new home, I will be ready. I will say I've become a huge fan of progress over perfection, and I learned to give myself a lot of grace. I should be all moved in by the end of this round, and I will use this current summer round to get things settled. I'm hoping by the fall round, I'll be able to actually follow the plan.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Welcome back. All right, now that we've determined that the first kind of work associated with housework is cleaning, how in the world am I going to quantify the other work that I and you do inside of our homes each week in a survey that I'm going to give to people who have no idea who I am or what I'm talking about? So the second kind of work that I want to talk about is one that I have gained knowledge of over the last 30 years in my life in various different ways. And I want to let you know how I came to determine this kind of work inside of our households. And I'm going to call it tasks of daily living. So I'll tell you where I got that term from and what I think it's comprised of, and then what I think happens inside of American homes for people who do end up having children. So, tasks of daily living. When Greg and I were first dating and early married, his sister worked in a home with people who had disabilities that lived in this home, and she would go there. She had a social work degree. And she would relate the things that she did to help these people who lived in the home. And they lived in this home because they could not take care of their tasks of daily living. So they needed help bathing and getting dressed. They couldn't prepare their own food. They couldn't do their own laundry. And some of the other reasons why they would need to live with someone or be monitored by someone who could help them. So I had that knowledge in the back of my head, didn't really think much about it, went on about my life. And then as my kids got diagnosed and had IEPs, I started, you know, researching as I do and attending a lot of meetings about services that are offered to students that have IEPs. So an IEP is an individualized education plan in the United States. If your student has any kind of a disability that keeps them from achieving the same level of education as their peers in a setting, it can be because they have ADHD, it could be because they have a hearing impairment, or they are blind, or they have autism, or they're in a wheelchair. It can be any reason that keeps them from being able to partake of public education the way that other students can partake of public education. Sometimes you hear this referred to as a 504 plan. 504 and IEPs have different legal ramifications, and sometimes that changes, so I'm not going to get into any of those details. But essentially, what an IEP or a 504 plan says is that this student, for whatever reason, is not able to fully participate in the classroom experience as it is being presented to all students, and they need some kind of accommodation or support or modification to their education. It may be they need a computer, or they need all the way to they need a one-on-one aide that will go from class to class with them. And there are all kinds of things that you can have written into IEPs. Well, as a teacher, I mean, I had students on IEPs. I knew about IEPs before my kids needed IEPs. And I just continued to learn specifically about ADHD and learning disabilities. And I would end up in all kinds of classes and seminars and online webinars about the rights and needs of students who have IEPs. And as my kids got older, and, you know, as you do, you tend to have kids that are like your kids. As my friends' kids got older, there are different services that are available to this disabled population at different times in your life. So I'm sure you've heard of Social Security. Like, there's Social Security. If you pay into Social Security in your working years, you get a Social Security benefit when you retire. Well, there's also Social Security disability. So if something happens to you and you've paid into Social Security, you can get a disability payment. And then there's also Social Security for children. Like, if their parents pass away, they're able to get the Social Security that their parents paid into. They can get that. But then there's also disability for students. And I have friends whose children have and young adults have qualified for Social Security disability. And I'm inquisitive, so I ask hashtag all the questions. And in order to determine social services, not just Social Security, but there's also developmental, used to be called MRDD, but it's usually called developmental disabilities now. There's OOD, which is occupational disability, and all of these different governmental services, which may have different names in different states, I'm not sure, are created for people who need additional supports in order to be in mainstream society as adults. The ODD will help you get a job, will help you get transportation to a job, things like that. It's not necessarily other things. So all of these governmental supports have requirements that you need to go through and determination factors to determine if you are eligible for services. And in there, in almost every single one, they ask you all these questions about tasks of daily living. Like, if there was a fire in your house, would you do the proper actions to get out of the house if there's a fire? Like, can you feed yourself? Can you bathe yourself? Can you do your laundry? Can you live on your own? And the more I've thought about this over the years, I just find this interesting. Like, that there are these set of skills that we all need to do, and we either have the ability to do them, or we learn to do them, or we need to have someone do them for us, but they are independent of our person. Last week, when we were talking about cleaning and that kind of housework, we determined that we were going to call anything that was household cleaning related, part of housework, something that you could pay a cleaning service to come in and do. That's how we were going to define what cleaning was. This week, we're going to talk about tasks of daily living. And the definition of tasks of daily living is things that are related to you. Like, if you move to a new apartment, if you move to a new house, a new state, or whatever, all of this work follows you. Like, it is related to you, the person, the being. Okay, so back to understanding all these governmental things. If you have a student who has an IEP, and like sometimes an IEP will just give you extra time on tests or extra time to get your assignments in, or it just gives you a little bit of a buffer so that you can keep up with your peers in school. And then sometimes an IEP will determine that you need a different path. Like, as you get to high school, the IEPs start to say, okay, let's start looking at your career. All IEPs start like in eighth or ninth grade about like, what kind of a career do you want to have? How are you going to be a contributing member of society? How are you going to support yourself after you graduate from high school? And in that portion, in those IEP conversations, they start to determine, like, will you go to a trade school? Will you go to a two-year school? Will you get a four-year degree? Are you going to get a GED? Like, what kind of a degree are you going to get? And what kind of an occupation do you want to have when you graduate from high school? Do career assessments and things like that. There is a provision, I'll be like, do your own research. I'm just going to throw this caveat out there. Do your own research. But there is a provision for students who have IEPs who need additional public schooling and are probably not going to go on to a 2-year or 4-year college, although they could after, that they can continue on in essentially a public high school through the age of 21. So your public schooling could go through the age of 21 on your IEP. And here in Cincinnati, Children's Hospital worked, or some people who were at Children's Hospital started this program called Project Search. It's now in many states inside of the United States. So it might be near you, but it definitely started here in Cincinnati, which is why I know of it. And I know some friends whose kids who have gone through Project Search. And Project Search is specifically created for students who have IEPs who are going to take advantage of this extended high school experience while getting trade experience so that when they graduate, they have a job. And so Project Search, started at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, uses an internship model where they go to school for part of the day and then they go to work for part of the day and they work at Children's Hospital or UC Hospital, or there are a lot of private companies in the United States who take Project Search students and they actually do these internships in businesses as part of their public schooling from the ages of 18 to 21. And Project Search can be done 2 years in a row. Now, what's interesting is Project Search is kind of like an internship trade school type approach here in Butler County, which is where I live in Cincinnati. Project Search and Project Life are run through Butler Tech, which is our countywide trade school program. And if you qualify or if you need it, you can add on an additional year called Project Life. Now, Project Life has to be done before Project Search. So you would do high school, and then you'd go into Project Life, and then you'd go into Project Search, and you could do a second year of Project Search. And so, you know, some of my friends whose kids who have gone into Project Life and Project Search have had cognitive delays, Down syndrome, autism diagnoses, and Project Life is life skills. Like, it teaches you tasks of daily living. At Project Life, in school, like you go to school and it teaches you how to do laundry, how to cook, how to care for yourself. These same exact skills that the population my sister-in-law was working with 30 years prior in the home that she worked in, where she was helping them with laundry and cooking and feeding and all of these things, they're now being taught to 18-year-olds in the public school system as an extended form of high school. I'm giving you all of this background, one, because I think at least one person will be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that this existed. And maybe you know of someone or your kids are going to need these services. So I wanted to let you know that they exist. And second, I like to tell you how I came to my ideas, because it may spark other ideas for you or other assimilations, because we're talking about organizing the home. We're not organizing home. We're talking about housework in a way that's never been talked about before. And so if I can tell you how I've come to where I am today, you can email me and tell me, Lisa, you should look into this, or this also applies to this, or this other person is talking about this too. You and this other person should talk, because here's the deal. If I come up with some great new way to do project management inside of a business, this is going to be newsworthy and businesses are going to adapt it and they're going to invest money in it. When you come up with different ideas for explaining the kind of work that is happening in the house, like, again, no governing board, no, you know, who cares really? Does anybody care? Does anybody care? Hello, we're drowning over here in our houses. And we just get out, we go out with our friends and we go to work, we do, but inside of our houses, we feel alone, unheard, like we're the only one trying to figure it out. And that's what we're doing. Like, we're all trying to figure out algebra on our own through like a textbook that's divided out among Google pages and podcasts. And we're trying to assemble the textbook and learn algebra all at the same time. Like, there is no roadmap for this. There's no one place to go to learn all of these things. So we're like, oh, that's good information. And we have like one puzzle piece out of 1,000. Now we're like, find another puzzle piece, find another. There's no one saying, here's how you run a house. Here's how you live an adult life. Here's all the things you need to know. And so I'm giving you this information that I have pulled together over the last 30 years and saying, help me find more people that are thinking like I am so that we can create a roadmap so that you and everybody that comes after us can do this hashtag adulting thing easier and with less stress. So tasks of daily living. So we said tasks of daily living are required for survival. This includes tasks like getting dressed, personal hygiene, and when applied to household tasks, tasks of daily living are grocery shopping, paying bills, laundry, and errands. It's kind of like the difference between the household reference and the household operations binder. You know, we have two household binders, and people are like, why do you have two? Well, a household reference binder is really not for you. It's for your house. Like, if you move, that household reference binder, almost everything in it will go to the new homeowner. It's the carpet you bought, the color of paint, you know, how old the refrigerator is, the improvements you made on the house. Like, it's not you. It's the house. That stays with the house. The household operations binder is about your pets and how you plan holidays and the vacations that you take and like you, like that operations binder goes with you to the new house. You buy a new reference binder because it's the house. You do housework for cleaning based on the house you have. You have more cleaning tasks if you have a farmhouse than if you have a tiny house. Like that's just math. But no matter which house you live in, you have to shower and you have to grocery shop and you have to eat and you have to do laundry and you have to pay bills. You may have less bills, but you get what I mean. Like those things, these tasks of daily living, they follow you. And wherever you go, they go. So it makes sense that, you know, when you're in college, you have to do your laundry. When you live in an apartment, then you have a house and you have kids. And now your kids have moved out. And now you're single and you're living in your 80s. You still have to do laundry, right? Like the laundry didn't go away. But the cleaning and the amount of cleaning probably went up. It probably went down. And there were more people and there were less people. But no matter what, you have to feed yourself and you have to do laundry. The most recent revelation I had about this idea of tasks of daily living, like that's kind of been brewing in the back of my mind for a long, long time. When Sarah and I were making this study together and I explained to her what tasks of daily living were, then I said to myself, this is the thing that gets women trapped. Hold on, just stick with me for a minute. What I've realized is that tasks of daily living are independent of the person. But when you put two people in the same household, no matter what, children, no children, partners, roommates, doesn't matter, however you put them together, when you put two people in a living space, there's a negotiation that happens. And in that negotiation, it's like, oh, we both have to eat. We both have to do laundry. We both have, like, you each have to brush your own teeth, but one person could do the laundry for two people and one person could do the grocery shopping for two people. You see where I'm going here? And you start to divide those tasks. And you divide those tasks really for convenience and productivity. Like why would two people in the same house go to the same grocery store? Why would, you know what I mean? Like you might keep your laundry separate, but there are some things like you're not going to make two independent dinners every single night if you're both eating at the same time. And you just start to say, oh, you know what? Like, I like spaghetti. I'll make you spaghetti. Okay, you make me whatever tomorrow night. And you might divide it up where you go back and forth. But over time, the longer you live with someone or someones, or especially if you have children and you start having multiple children, these tasks become more and more consolidated in the person who is home more. It's just logic. Like it's not done out of malice or any other reason other than productivity, really. Like if you think about your own life, if you've ever lived with another person, like eventually you looked at them and you said, okay, all right, we've got a lot to do here. You take out the trash. I'm going to start the laundry. And you start doing that over and over again. And you realize, you know, I'm better at the laundry than you are. So if you would just keep taking out the trash, I will keep doing the laundry. And now all of a sudden you have a job. Like you're the laundry person. And then kids come along or other people move in or move out or whatever. And now you're doing laundry for two, three, four, five. And all of a sudden, you now have taken on tasks of daily living for another human that lives in your house out of convenience and productivity. Not a problem, right? It's not really a problem, especially if you kind of talk about it and think about it. Where I personally in my life and in my peers have noticed, because I chose to be a stay-at-home mom, and not everybody chooses, but sometimes you end up as the default parent. I think we can all agree, and all of the research and all the newspaper articles are showing that women have opted out of the workforce in the last 15 months during the pandemic because somebody had to take care of the kids that were at home. And I'm not saying men didn't, but the percentage of women who did is higher. Okay, so it's a fact. And some opted out voluntarily, and some opted out not voluntarily, but it's just a fact. Like, it's just a fact. What I found to be frustrating, and I've articulated probably in a couple of podcasts, I remember articulating it in the podcast where I interviewed Gail, and I was like, oh, I probably seem like, I don't know. I was like, oh, I don't know. I came off so good in that podcast. But for women like me, you know, I'm almost 50. My children are essentially raised. I did assume almost all the tasks of daily living for our family for a period of time. You know, 6 years ago, I said, I'm not doing anything related to food anymore. Greg has assumed the tasks of daily living for grocery shopping and cooking and taking out the trash for our family. So he has also assumed those tasks of daily living. It's so interesting because I talk all about these mini apartments, and Abby lives in the basement and that's her apartment, and Joey has his bedroom and that's his apartment. Like, Abby will say to us, well, it's your house. You should keep it clean. I keep the basement clean. I'm like, that's not exactly what we meant. Like, if you leave the dishes in the kitchen, you have to do it. You know what I'm saying? But it's true. Like, once you have assumed these tasks of daily living for another human that then becomes an adult, they don't turn 18 and look and you go, I am an independent adult. I will do all of my own tasks now. Like, it's not how it happens. At least it didn't in our house. And it was a very conscious uncoupling of my being mentally and physically responsible for all of these tasks for all four of us and relinquishing them back to the original human that needed the task done, or in the case of Greg, renegotiating our contract. Like, I still do all the laundry and I organize the house. Like, there are a lot, I do all the vacuuming. There are a lot of household cleaning and tasks of daily living I do, but he does the majority of anything food related. And, you know, he feels frustrated that he has to do so much of what he calls housework because he goes to multiple grocery stores and makes these elaborate dinners. I'm like, hey, you can cut out the time really. Like, there's click and ship or click and pick up or whatever, or you can actually get it, you know, delivered right to the house. He likes to go to the grocery store. He doesn't mind that, but it takes a lot of time. And he realizes that he spends, you know, 10 hours a week just grocery shopping, putting the food away, cooking it, and then taking the trash out. And equally, I clean up the kitchen and do the vacuuming and do the laundry. And yeah, it takes a certain amount of time as well. Now, our kids do their own laundry now. I still do Greg's laundry. He still does my cooking for me. But it was an adjustment and it was purposeful. And I think there was, and maybe still is, some resentment to me because I used to do these tasks of daily living for everyone, and now I don't. And it's like, why isn't mom still doing this for me? Like, it's mean. Why is she making me do my own things? Or in Greg's case, like, why do I have to do this? I shouldn't have to do this. And I think that we all kind of feel that way. Like, when you get home from the end of a long day, or you get up on a Saturday morning, like, why do I have to do this? Why can't somebody else do this for me? And the bummer of tasks of daily living are they are the hardest and most expensive to delegate. Like, we're all doing it, people. Nobody's grocery shopping for us. Nobody's preparing meals for us. Nobody's doing our laundry. Yes, there have been seasons of time, like when, and this was brilliant, when Joey was a senior in high school and I was driving the kids all over the place, I literally took our laundry to the laundromat and had them do my laundry for 9 months. I felt guilty about it. I still feel guilty saying it, but I do my own laundry again now. Like, it's expensive. It's time consuming. It's not convenient to have people do your tasks of daily living for you. So when we asked in our survey, who does these tasks of daily living, the bill paying, the laundry, the errands, almost everything in your Sunday basket is a tasks of daily living. You know, bill paying, errands, the keeping up with the calendar, the things that you're waiting for, negotiating medical bills. Those are all tasks of daily living. And millennials said, 78% said that they do it. Gen X said 83% that said that they do it. And baby boomers said 83% as well. The barrier to getting your tasks of daily living done for the general population survey, which was men and women together, 36% it was said it was lack of motivation, and 29% it was because they were too tired. Like, we're just too tired and we really don't want to. I don't want to clean my room. Like, we're just like teenagers who would rather go out and play than have to do our chores. And we can't really give them to anybody. Like, if we don't do them, they don't get done. So the cost of the tasks of daily living are, we just have too much to do. And it takes a lot of time to do them. It takes a lot of time to teach them to someone else or to have the discussion about how we need to level the playing field. I feel like the book Fair Play by Eve Rodsky was a lot about these tasks of daily living. It wasn't really the cleaning, because you can outsource cleaning if you have two people that are corporately working and they have children, like you probably have childcare and you can outsource your cleaning. It's the tasks of daily living that are really expensive and hard and confusing to delegate, and that's where you get stuck. Like, who is going to do the grocery shopping, and who is going to do the cooking, and who's going to do the dishes, and who's going to do the laundry? And you could see just mentioning those few are difficult to outsource, but it gets even more complicated when you start talking about anything that's in your Sunday basket. Who's going to run the errands? Who's going to drop off the alterations? Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to reconcile the medical statements? Who's going to keep up your calendar? Who's going to order everything that needs to be ordered online? Who's going to make sure all the doctor's appointments are scheduled? You see what I'm saying? Like, a nanny and a housekeeper are not going to do these things. And a lot of them, this is where we get these mental tasks that we don't even realize that we're doing because we just kind of do them when we sit down and you're like, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to go through my Sunday basket or my calendar or whatever. Once you start doing the Sunday basket in earnest, you realize it takes 90 minutes and you're ticked. Like, why? It shouldn't take this long. This is ridiculous. Like, I could clean the whole first floor of my house in 90 minutes. Why am I sitting here with this little box with these slush buckets in it? And I'm like spending all this time. And at the end of 90 minutes, I'm not even done. Why does it take so long? Because it does. I don't know what to tell you. It does. This is hashtag adulting. Welcome to it. Like, it's not my fault. It's not your fault. But the Sunday basket does quantify this mental capacity load that you are doing. And it is part of these household tasks of daily living. This is where the majority of the time is. It's not in cleaning. Even though we talked about how long cleaning takes, yeah, you can lower your standards for cleaning. You still are going to have to eat. You're going to need underwear. And you have to pay your bills. Like, this is not optional. Like, you have to do these things. And they take time. And we don't want them to take time. We want to pretend that we can just, like, get our housework done in 3 hours on a Saturday morning. No, that's the cleaning. Then there's the laundry, then there's the shopping, then there's the cooking, then there's the preparing, then there's the calendar, then there's all the things that pertain to you. Well, Lisa, that's depressing. Like, what is your solution for me? Well, I think the first solution is to just recognize it. When you say housework and you think cleaning, and then you're spending 90 minutes in a Sunday basket and an hour and a half on laundry, and you're standing in the grocery store, that's not cleaning. It's tasks of daily living. It's a whole different category of work that you do. And start to really think about these two categories of work. When you're at home and you are working, are you cleaning or are you doing tasks of daily living? And then just like with cleaning, what are your expectations for tasks of daily living? The way to reduce the amount of time you spend on tasks of daily living, which we know is non-negotiable, so there's going to be some time, and it's not easily outsourced or given to someone else, so it's probably going to be your time, is to create better systems, better habits, and reduce your expectations. This is why I love doing laundry once a week. Like, I do it once a week. I wear my pajamas two nights in a row. I have three pairs of great pajamas. When I wear the third pair of pajamas the second night, I'm like, oh, must be laundry night coming because I'm going to have to wear pajamas I don't like as much. And I know we're to the weekend. I do the laundry. I buy more laundry. Like, the best way to extend your laundry is to do that. If you have two pairs of pajamas you love, buy one more. If you have seven pairs of underwear, buy seven more. Like, 14 pairs of underwear, however many pairs of pajamas, like, you don't need that many jeans and tops and stuff like that. It's the undergarments that make you do laundry. It's not your favorite shirt. When my kids had uniforms, I bought them five. I know it's a ridiculous expense. I am well aware, but I only want to do laundry on the weekends. So, and kids do not rewear. Like, I went to Catholic school. I had a jumper. Like, you had to rewear the jumper. You only had so many, but you wear a new shirt underneath every time. So buy 5 school shirts minimum. Buy 2 sweaters. Buy 10 pairs of socks. Like, whatever it is that you run out of that makes you do laundry, buy more of it. It's usually not the expensive thing. It's underwear. It's socks. It's an extra bra. It's another pair of pajamas. Those are the things that make you do laundry. Buy more of those things so that you can do laundry once a week. That's a solution for laundry. For food, Greg loves to go grocery shopping because he loves to buy all these new fun foods because he likes novelty in his food. That's great for Sunday dinner. Monday through Friday, it should be like a school cafeteria. Do you notice that the school cafeteria menu rotates through, right? Like, you know which day is pizza day. You know which day is the good hot dog day or whatever. Like, you know what you eat at school. Your kids do not have 89 different things that they eat at school. They have a school menu. Or when you pack lunches, you pack, you know, 2-3 different varieties of lunches. You don't have like, it's not like going to a restaurant and you can pick anything you want, like at the Cheesecake Factory. Your Monday through Friday should be like that. Like, I have had the same breakfast for the last decade. It's a Zone protein bar with a coffee. I buy them in bulk. I never think about breakfast. My lunch is seasonal. Right now, I'm getting a Panera salad, the one that has the fruit on the top, and it's really just lettuce with a bunch of fruit on the top and a sweet dressing with a baguette. That's what I have for lunch. If I don't have that for lunch, I'm probably getting pizza somewhere. Those are my lunches. Like, that's all I have. Dinners can be a little bit different, but right now, the age I am, and as sedentary as my life is, I don't really eat dinner. Sometimes it's cereal. Sometimes I have another protein bar. Sometimes I have an acai bowl. Like, it's really just 3 or 4 things. And in the launch course that we have when we're teaching our hashtag adulting life skills, that's what I teach 20-year-olds. Like, you don't need to have a packed out fridge like your parents do. Pick your 1 or 2 things you want for breakfast. Pick your 2 or 3 things you want for lunch. Pick your snacks. You're good to go. Like, figure out your dinner at night if you want to, or figure out 3 nights. The other great thing about evenings is you can have the theme nights. Taco Tuesday, it trends on Instagram for a reason. A lot of people having tacos on Tuesday. There are a lot of people having pizza on Friday. Like, just join the crowd. Like, do you really need to reinvent that wheel? Figure out what your grocery list is. You'll also save yourself money, save yourself time, save yourself money, spend the weekend, get exactly what you know you're going to eat Monday through Friday into your click list or whatever kind of online software you have for your local grocery store. Here's a pro tip. Just because you use the online clicking and buying grocery thing doesn't mean you have to get all of your groceries that way. I know, right? So let's say your pickup time is like between 10 and 11 on Saturday. Go to the grocery store at 10:15. Pick up the 5 or 6 things that you don't want people to pick out for you, like your fruit or your meat or your bread or your extra special thing you're going to have tonight for dinner. Get those few things, get through the line, then go over and drive through the drive-through line and pick up the bulk of your order that you know you're going to eat Monday through Friday and drive home. You just saved yourself 45 minutes and probably $45 because you didn't add on other things or forget things when you got home. You can combine systemization and habits with spontaneity and fun. But not everything in your tasks of daily living needs to be spontaneous or unplanned. The more you plan and batch things together, the less time you're going to spend on tasks of daily living, and you'll be able to do it in other things. Okay, so we have covered 2 of our definitions of housework. The first one is cleaning, anything that a cleaning service can do. And the second one is tasks of daily living. This is where you spend the bulk of your time when you do housework, from the time you start doing it until, you know, the end. The next 2 types of housework are optional. They don't always get done. When you get to them, one increases the value of your house and the other reduces your stress and increases your enjoyment of your house. But these are the 2 that you have to get done, the cleaning and then the tasks of daily living. I'll be back next week with the 3rd kind of housework.